Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our worship service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. The doxology, the red hymnal, number 549. Worship is hymn number 648. Happy is he whose guilt is removed, whose sin is forgiven. Happy the man whom the Lord reckons no evil, whose spirit is free from guile. Then I told you my sin, I hid not my guilt. I said, I confess, O Most High, my transgressions, O Lord. As for you, you removed the guilt of my sin. Therefore, every saint prays unto you. When an army approaches or flood waters rise, he is not overtaken. You are my refuge. You protect me from danger. You surround me with shouts of triumph. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 412, Have You Been to Jesus? Number 412, Have You Been to Jesus? Individually, with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, the challenges that we are facing. And Lord, we also come to you collectively as a body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we are so thankful that you truly have cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb. And God, it represents the love that you have for us. And we are asking right now, God, for us to experience that love during this time of worship. Lord, there are many times when we look at the challenge that we are facing, the things that we take personally, and God, we just lose sight of the fact that you are in control of our lives through all of the circumstances and all of the challenges that we are facing. God, give us the discernment and the understanding, the wisdom, the vision to see that you truly are working your will in our lives. And Lord, not only are we thinking about ourselves, but we are thinking about friends and family members that might be facing the same challenges. They may be feeling that they are alone, but God, you've reminded us again and again that we are never alone in the challenges that we are facing, that your presence is always there with us. Lord, we think of fellow patients throughout this medical center. God, we think of the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we lift them up in the same way in prayer as we lift up our own requests. And God, we ask that you would intervene in a very special way in their needs, that they would also see your will working in their lives. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 275, Fair Is Lord Jesus. 275, Fair Is Lord Jesus. Scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and I'm actually going to start at verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Since so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Let us pray. God, you've called us here this morning to worship you for a reason and for a purpose. And Lord, you know what that is. And God, I would ask that the presence of your Spirit would be with us in truth and in light for us to see that purpose and that calling. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Just yesterday, I had an opportunity to be part of a ceremony where we were repatriating a Japanese flag that had been obtained from a soldier during World War II in the Pacific. In fact, there's actually a society, it's called the Oban Society, which actually has made it its mission in life to find these flags that were obtained from American servicemen and women in the Pacific for souvenirs, for trophies from battle, and that to find the actual family that the flag actually belongs to in terms of who possessed it during the war for the Japanese. And as I thought about my prayer for the ceremony, because they asked me to give an invocation and they asked me to give a benediction, I really struggled with the whole idea of what should I pray about. Because if you are familiar with the history of World War II, you know that in the Pacific, that the atrocities that were carried out were horrific to our American servicemen and women. In fact, I've read several accounts of the Bataan Death March. I've read several accounts of experiencing the prisoner of war camps under the Japanese. In fact, some of our veterans that used to come here to this VA that are now with the Lord was part of that experience. The Bataan Death March, being POWs under the Japanese, surviving on hell ships as they were transported from various parts of the Pacific to China and to Japan towards the end of the war. And I thought about those veterans that have been in this chapel worshiping with me. And I thought about their lives, and I thought about their stories. And I really struggled with how I could say something that acknowledged everybody, but yet be true to what I know in terms of what took place during World War II in the Pacific against the Japanese. So let me share with you the prayer that I gave. I always say this before I begin my prayers. Please join me in this prayer as your faith or conscience allows. And I do that because I want everybody that is in attendance to know that I am doing my best to include them in that prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, you have created all of humanity with a listening heart. And it's with those listening hearts that we come before you today, individually and collectively. Through those listening hearts, you've provided a way for us to do something very special in remembrance of this flag that was obtained as a souvenir, a trophy from battle, that represents courage, sacrifice, dedication, and commitment to a cause years ago. And we are reaching back in time to rekindle its original purpose, to make it come alive again. It was created to represent the faith, hope, and love of the family and friends of the soldier who possessed it. Through this ceremony, it lives again with the light of that same faith, hope, and love. With our listening hearts, may we see this moment as a time for forgiveness and healing from the wounds of conflict. May we also examine our own needs of forgiveness and healing that have been brought into the light through this moment. It is with these intentions that we ask you to bless us this morning and rekindle our first loves. Through our intercessor of spirit and truth, we pray. Amen. That was my invocation. Trying to come with my own personal grasp of what we were attempting to do, to honor both sides of two nations in conflict. This morning, I want to ask you, as we read the portion of Scripture, as we have sung the hymns this morning, as we have offered our prayers, do you understand and know God personally? The question is, then, how can we know God? How can we come to a greater understanding of God? Well, the Scriptures that we read specifically ends us with that understanding, that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So knowing God comes from our understanding about how we view and see our lives. Do we only focus on what is temporary? Do we focus only on what is seen? And during the flag ceremony, specifically dealing with the specific flag, stories were told from different people from different sides of the conflict in terms of how their family themselves experienced the loss of a loved one, of a father, of a grandfather. One story was the loss of an American naval officer that was on the Oklahoma when it was torpedoed and overturned and sank in 12 minutes in Pearl Harbor. The other story was of a grandfather spoken from her granddaughter, understanding the impact that it had with her grandfather being lost and killed somewhere in the conflict as a Japanese soldier in Burma. Each of them wanted to know their grandfather in some form or fashion. So this morning, do you know God? Do you understand God for yourself? Do you believe in what is unseen versus what is seen? And as they shared their story about what they were experiencing, they talked about the event itself in terms of the loss of that one person and how it impacted their family for generations to come. And it is the hope and is the belief of those that were part of this ceremony that somehow the returning of that flag to the family members could be a part of a healing process, to understand that and to believe in that. And so the same way this morning, the Scriptures is telling us to reach back to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and to believe as to why he died for your sins and for my sins. And if we believe that God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, then you and I have access to that same relationship. And it is through that grace that we come to understand and know God in a very close and personal way. But many times we do lose heart because of the challenges that we face on an everyday basis. We lose heart when people that we trust call into question our honesty, our dedication, our commitment. When we find ourselves in situations when we know we are doing our best, but yet others seem to say in judgment, it is not good enough. And we lose heart. We come to an understanding about who we are in ourselves. The scriptures tell us this morning that outwardly, though we are wasting away, if we are walking with Christ, we are inwardly being renewed day by day. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we understand the renewal that takes place that God has for us spiritually day after day? The renewal that is a good thing. The renewal that examines our motives and whether they are pure, whether they are right. The renewal that God wants us to have to come before Him in prayer, to ask Him for guidance, to specifically have the grace that He has provided to us to be applied to our everyday lives. But yet, it is a struggle. And when we come before God, we just say, God, I cannot do the things that You are asking me to do. It is impossible. And that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in that place where we just somehow come to the realization that we just can't seem to change the circumstances before us, even though we want to, even though we desire to, even though we are devoting our energies to do so. But we find ourselves saying, God, I can't change those things. I am hopeless. I have no strength. I am weak. And when we come before God in all humility and we humble ourselves and we open ourselves up to God, the Spirit of God is there with us. And then all of a sudden we're given the courage and the dedication and the commitment and yes, even the sacrifice to the things that we need to do to be renewed every day in our walk with God. And it is a process. And we've talked about here in the chapel many times that daily it is a process for us to be renewed in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And to go forward no matter what the challenges are that we might be facing, even when they don't seem to work out the way that we want them to. Somehow God is involved in that process that is beyond our own understanding. And we are not to lose heart. We are not to lose heart about our relationship with God. And I believe that we forget our original relationship when we came to know Christ. The original purpose of why we came before God, just as we were on that particular time when we came to an understanding, a revelation, a moment of epiphany, where we said, God, I understand now what Your Son did for me on the cross. But it seems that over time and events that take place, that we seem to lose that original purpose. And we find ourselves trying to come to an understanding of that original purpose when we came to know Christ through the faith, hope, and love that He has for us. And that's where that renewal needs to take place day in and day out, to renew and rekindle that first love that He has for us. That we come before God and we examine our needs and wanting to be forgiven, wanting to have that healing that we need to have. Looking some way to find it. Reading books. Watching perhaps certain documentaries. Listening to people speak and talk. Being part of groups where we have conversations to try to come to some understanding about where we want to be with our relationship with God. To open up ourselves to that forgiveness and to that healing. And then as we begin to understand, we finally come face to face with the whole idea and the whole concept of knowing God. understanding God in our lives. And it is something unseen. We can have testimony upon testimony how God has worked in someone's life, and they can tell you through circumstances and through people that how this thing took place in terms of how they knew Christ or how they were healed or how they were blessed. But can you see it? You can't. I can tell you about my own personal testimony of how I have come to know Christ and how it is a struggle with me every day and how I have to ask for forgiveness and I have to hope somehow that I understand the renewal that is taking place in my life. But every day I don't. Every day I find myself struggling with myself and my nature and the things that I want to do and my pride and who I am in terms of me. And I forget about who I am in God. And I believe that is the key to knowing God. Is who are you in God? Not about me, not about who you are with others, but who are you with God and in God? Is God a part of your life that even though you cannot see it, you know and you experience God daily? The thoughts of God, the Spirit of God is there with you. You find yourself doing and saying things that can only come from God. You find yourself doing the right thing in certain circumstances. You know, Solomon, in the Bible, when God asked him what he wanted, he didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for power. He asked to have a listening heart because he wanted to know God. In the same way, the Scriptures have told us this morning and reminded us that if we have a listening heart, that we will not lose heart in the things of God. That we will come to an understanding of our circumstances and we will endeavor with God's guidance to do the right thing, hoping and praying that God will bless what we are trying to do. But we also have to be willing to say, it is okay if you do not, God. Because that's where we are face to face with understanding and knowing God instead of ourselves. God, I want you to answer this prayer. I want you to bless me. I want to experience this healing. I want to experience that forgiveness. But God, for whatever reason, if you do not choose to give it to me today, I will accept that, and I will continue to ask for the same things until you tell me otherwise. And I will continue to praise you, whether I feel that I am successful or whether I feel that I am a failure. I will continue to praise you, God, because I know that you are there in my life. And then we are truly knowing God. And knowing God means more than just someone that we come before with our needs and requests and we ask, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. That's not knowing God. Knowing God is when we understand to the best of our ability through the presence of His Spirit in our lives that we see God working as He is always evolving and unfolding His will for our lives on a regular basis. And then we see that we are not wasting away. We can see that there is no reason for us to lose heart. We begin to experience that renewal that is taking place and we come to an understanding of it and we thank you and we praise you, God, for that. That the momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. An eternal glory. That's what our goal should be in knowing God, is understanding and achieving with God in our lives that eternal glory that He wants us to have. Something that we cannot explain. We can experience it. We can give you testimonies. We can do our best to tell you all the feelings and all the facts. But it's something that we have to take with faith. The faith that we have in believing God's word. The faith that we have in understanding how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Believing that the same God that raised His Son from the dead will also raise us from the dead and the eternal glory that He has promised us. So it is my hope and prayer that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because we truly want to focus on what is eternal for our lives and not the temporary. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it is a wonderful opportunity for us to experience what is unseen in the forgiveness and in the grace that God has provided for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, I would ask that each day that You would renew us, that we would have that listening heart, our desire to know You, God, in a very personal way. Forgive us when we have focused so much on the temporary and on those things that are not eternal. Forgive us, Lord, when we just want to know ourselves more and we focused on the me part of our lives than our desire and our need to know You. Lord, I thank You for everyone that is here, because they too want to experience knowing You in a very close and personal way. And when we celebrate communion, we have an opportunity to do that. Thank You, God, for hearing us and listening to our prayers. In Christ's name, amen. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us partake together. In the same way, After supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 389, Just As I Am Without One Plea. To come before him in prayer, to ask him for guidance, to specifically have the grace that he has provided to us to be applied to our everyday lives. But yet it is a struggle. To our American servicemen and women, in fact, I've read several accounts of the Bataan Death March. I've read several accounts of experiencing the prisoner of war camps under the Japanese. In fact, some of our veterans that used to come here to this VA that are now with the Lord was part of that experience. The Bataan Death March, being POWs under the Japanese, surviving on hell ships as they were transported from various...
Lord, my soul, who leads